Super Church, I believe, is second grade and younger. They have their little, have their fun time. If you're wondering what the pink sticker is on my guitar, that's a note from my birthday girl. It says, "Raylan to Dad, I love you." She puts notes everywhere. Everywhere. We have notes all over our house. But I left that there because, you know, well, it's not cool. It's on my guitar, and it's pink, and it's on my guitar. And that's okay, even though it has sticky stuff that's getting on my guitar. Even if it's not cool for me, it's still good to know that our kids love us, and they show us how they love us in the best ways they know how. And sometimes that's by putting sticky notes on our guitars. And you are never too old to let someone in your life know that you love them. You're never too old to leave a sticky note somewhere, or to let your kids have a sticky note somewhere. I don't know where that came from. We're never too old for sticky notes. That was intentional. Well, we are going to still be talking about peace. Peace is possible. Last week we looked at the need for gentleness in our life. And we talked about the ways that we can take our natural response of anger and turn it into a response of gentleness. And that can lead to peace. And this week we're going to be talking about peace is possible as we deal with anxiety. And some people are super confident in themselves and they say, "Nothing stresses me. I don't get too worried about anything. So I'm just going to tune out because I'm not a worrier." Well, you might not be right now, but I can guarantee you at some point in your life, something is going to happen that you will realize this is out of my control and this could get bad in a hurry and I can't do anything about it. My belief is you're better off to be prepared to deal with something. So if you're someone who says, "Well, I don't worry, that's not my personality," not yet. But there will be some point in your life when you realize this is way beyond me. I've shared this with some of you, but I was pretty sick last year, even to the point of like almost not preaching because I would get so nervous and worried about being up here. I was sick, like my brain wasn't functioning right. And during that time, I actually had my one and only ever panic attack, which I didn't know what it was until I explained it to somebody and said, "You had a panic attack." And I was like, "I don't have panic attacks. I'm cool. Nothing stresses me except right now when my brain's not working right." And during that time, I actually had thoughts of like, maybe I'm not even good enough to be a preacher anymore. Like, for real, this was going on in my head while I was sick. I thought, I probably shouldn't be a pastor because I don't think I'm capable of handling this. And that led to, I wonder if I'm even a Christian anymore. Like, does God still love me? And now I'm completely recovered. It sounds silly to say that because, well, of course God loves me. And I can point you to the Bible verses where the Bible says, no matter who you are, where you go, what you do, God will always love you. But something was happening in my brain that was causing me to think crazy thoughts. That's how I was like, this isn't right. And so I had a system that Chris and I worked out because I talked with her about these things, like, this is what I'm thinking. So we had a system. When this was happening, if something was out of kilter with my emotions and I was thinking something that I thought this could go somewhere dangerous in a hurry, I would come to Chris and say, "This is what I'm feeling. Is that real or not real?" And Chris would tell me. Most of the time it was not real. And at that point, I had to intentionally ignore the things that were going on in my head. They were still there, but I just realized I cannot pay attention to those. It's like the dog that's barking at you and you're wondering that if it's going to bite you, but you just tell yourself, ignore the dog and it won't bite you. Maybe you've never had that happen before. It's like that. It's right over here and I can see it out of the corner of my eye, but I am choosing to not look at it anymore. That was my life for a little while. because something was going on inside my head. I was sick. So I was thinking these things. And the way we got through it was I had Carissa tell me, not real. So then I would choose to act on that. Some of us, maybe you all have experienced something like that. If you've been sick and that affects the way you think, and maybe you've been in situations before where you have had a lot of stress or anxiety and it comes on, you're like, oh no, what do I do? Like, there are different reasons for having these stressful situations. It's not just being mentally sick. Sometimes we get into situations, like if I were to stop right now preaching and if I were to point at one of you and I would say, come up and quote from memory John 3:16, some of you would feel this rush of chemicals going through your body and you would say, oh no. You may know John 3:16, but when you have to stand up here in front of everybody and say it, you panic. Sometimes being in front of people causes us to have this flood of, I'm going to die. Sometimes there are situations in our lives that, like, we've been in something before, and if we see something else that resembles that, then we panic. Like, if you've ever been beaten up by somebody wearing a hoodie, hopefully none of you have. But for some people, that's a real thing. Somebody jumped them. They were wearing a black hoodie. And so whenever you see somebody wearing a black hoodie, your brain goes into this protect mode. Like, you don't have any control over it. It's just automatic, like, I have to fight or run. Maybe you've never experienced that. How about spiders? I know we have some spider lovers in here. When you see a spider, doesn't matter where you are, who you're with, you are going to scream and run. A spider causes instant panic. Like, we have these responses that take place in our brains that cause us to do things that are sometimes quite irrational. Like, the thing's the size of a dime, and you're screaming bloody murder running out of the store. Like, for real, get a grip. Like, we can step back now and say that because there's no spider in front of us. But when it happens, we're like, where did that come from? I was reading some of, obviously I study for this, but you're not crazy. The Mayo Clinic says that there are some, these feelings of anxiety and panic, sometimes they interfere with your daily life. They are difficult to control, especially if there's a clown involved. They're out of proportion to the actual danger. That little bitty spider's not going to hurt you. They're out of proportion to danger, and sometimes they last a long time. You may avoid places or situations to prevent these feelings. Sometimes symptoms may start during childhood or the teen years and continue into adulthood. That's from the Mayo Clinic, describing, like, you know it's not rational. You know you're acting way out of proportion to the fear, but for some reason your body causes you to do something that induces panic. Oh, dear. And we sometimes just accept the fact that that's who we are. Like, sometimes I just get really nervous, and I don't know why, but that's just who I am, and I clam up. Or sometimes I'm at work, and I cannot focus. There's something on my mind. Sometimes I don't even know what it is. I just can't focus. It's probably because I need a little more coffee. But we have things that consume our mind, so even while we're at work, we can't concentrate because we're stuck in this loop. Sometimes I lay in bed worrying. And I might not even know what I'm worrying about. Sometimes I do. There are reasons for this, but we might not always know it. But what we do know is this panic or this anxiety or worry affects us. Like, rather than feel this way and go out into public, one of the things that we do sometimes is we'll just close all the windows, turn out the lights, and we'll go sit in the corner. When I get in this, that's one of the responses to panic or worry, is I just lock myself in my house, close the blinds, and I just keep to myself and don't let anybody around. Sometimes we self-medicate. Unfortunately, these feelings of I'm losing control, I can't handle this, where's the alcohol? Where's the drug? Where's the donut? But really, where's the donut? Where's the food? Because when I eat food, it makes me feel better. And I could tell you there's a point in my life where I was really stressed and I felt like I had no control, but the only thing I could control was the food that I ate. And so I would eat until I was completely full. And for a little while, I could just go into my food coma. But it was real at the time. Now I can look back and it's like, well, that was dumb. Yeah, looking back I can. But these things that cause stress in our lives, they affect us. And sometimes we try to medicate those causes. We try to cover them. And it doesn't work. What we need to do is, in times when we are thinking clearly, we can start building a foundation. When this happens again, here's what I'm going to do. Like 12-step programs like Alcoholics Anonymous, that was the first one that really made this obvious. One of their fundamental beliefs is you have to have a foundation. For them, they say the foundation is God. You have to believe that there is a creator who wants what's best for you and will help you through these things. First thing, you are accountable to God. What this tells us is, I am accountable to God, so it's not just about me, but God is here with me. And the second thing it tells us is that I don't have to do this alone. You do not have to do this alone. We're still studying Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read through these verses again and see what God says about dealing with anxiety, because it is real, and sometimes it's not rational, but it affects our lives. If it's not affecting it now, good for you. But when I do get in this state of worry, what do I do? Well, we see this here in Philippians chapter 4. So let's take a look. This is on your note sheet, or you can read it up here. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If you could go back one screen for me, we're going to take a look at these words here. There's some key words. Obviously, I love to do this. There's some key words in here, so let's look at them. The first word I see is anxious. What that word means when they wrote it, that word anxious, it means to be pulled in opposite directions or to be divided into two. Like when you feel like your brain's falling apart, like I feel like I'm running in 20 different directions. I can't think straight. That's being anxious. I'm being pulled in different directions. Anxious. The next word we see is prayer. And most of us have a pretty good idea what that is. It's simply a request to God. And that's important. Prayer is a request that's directed at God. It shifts my attention to God. So when I'm divided in two, when I'm being pulled in different directions, focus my attention to God. And the next word is petition. This is something, it's more than just like asking, but like when we have these deep needs, like, God, this is really important to me. It's something that I can feel. That's a petition. Like those things, like, this matters, God. That's what a petition is. The next word is thanksgiving. This one's really complicated. It means giving thanks to God. Actually, what it's saying is, God, thank you for being gracious. This word means I'm giving thanks to God for his grace. I'm thankful. Like right now, I don't feel thankful, but I can look back on my life and see what you have done, and I'm going to intentionally spend this time reminding myself you have been gracious to me in the past. That's what he says. And the last word is to present, which means make them known. I'm not going to keep it in. I'm going to give it to him. So here's the drawn-out version of this verse. In the what do the definitions mean language, here's what it says. Don't be drawn in opposite directions and pulled into pieces, but talk to God about the urgent and personal needs in your life. Thank him for his grace and make your needs known to him. That's what it says to do. When you feel like you're, actually it says don't be drawn, but make your needs known to God. I've been learning about the brain. It's really cool. Did you know our brains are incredible? For a while, I would say, like, this part of my brain's fighting this part of my brain. But I learned over the last couple weeks, like, that's a real thing. This top part of our brain up here is where our thinking that we know is thinking, where that takes place. Like when somebody's walking down the road and you're like, hey, I think I know him. Recognizing that person takes place up here on the top. Or when you're in Wendy's looking at the menu and you're trying to decide, should I get chocolate frosty or vanilla frosty? Duh. That's happening right here. Or when you see that, why am I stuck on food? I'm hungry. That's why. Just kidding. Actually, they're all written down. I'm prepared. Your brain is telling you things. You're thinking through them, and then you're processing, okay? So I see something happening, and I'm processing it. That happens up here. You are aware that this is happening. That's the top part of your brain. There's this bottom part of your brain. It's like down in the bottom, underneath everything, tucked away there. That's where most of your thinking takes place, but the fun part is you don't have a clue. Like when I see that Frosty, I'm just talking about it, and it happened. That is so cool. When I see that Frosty, my mouth starts to salivate. Now, I did not tell my mouth, all right, salivary glands start to work. I didn't do that. It just happened. Or when I put that hamburger in my mouth, I don't tell my stomach. Now, stomach, I just ate something pretty greasy, so you need to create and release some more bile to break up those oils. I don't tell my things, those things to myself up here on the top of my brain. But my body is thinking and responding, but I'm not aware of it. I'm going somewhere with this, so hang with me for a second. There are things that happen inside of our brains that we don't know but affect us. There, how's that for summarizing it? When you're a kid, maybe some of your family tried to get you to play with things. And they would throw things at you, and you would just stand there. You probably don't remember this. But things would come at you and hit you. And when you were really little, you realized that hurt. So what you learned to do is when you saw something coming at you, you would dodge. You would move your body. And you would have to think about that for a while. But as you get older and older, now when things come at you, you don't even think. Like this part of your brain up here top is not thinking, okay, I need to shift my hips and then move my arms and pull my head back. You don't think that. It just happens. We train ourselves. So we have these responses that our body does that we don't even think about. But did you know it's possible to train yourself not to move when things are coming at you really fast? Like, it's possible. Here's how you would do it. First, you would start at the beginning again. Have somebody stand in front of you and throw something at you very softly. And instead of dodging, you just put your hand up. Slowly. And then, after you get good at that, then they throw it a little bit faster. Instead of dodge, don't dodge, put your hand up. I'm telling myself, don't dodge, put your hand up. And then it comes faster and faster and faster. And after a while, I no longer have to think, don't dodge, put your hand up. It just happens. And we call that baseball. You have to teach yourself not to dodge that missile that's coming at you really fast. But if you do it long enough and rehearse it and practice it, it just becomes natural. Here it comes. And a lot of times, those guys aren't even thinking. It just, it's a natural response. Actually, professional athletes don't think. When they think, they mess up. They have trained themselves so much, they're so used to it, that the bottom part of their brain is doing the work. It's a response. Okay? There's my little anatomy biology lesson for the day. So what in the world does that have to do with this? Well, did you know that God knew this? Obviously, yes. And what's pretty cool is that he actually has told us how to reteach ourselves to respond to situations that cause that initial, like, oh no, I'm going to die, or I can't handle this, this is way beyond me. Those situations of panic, like, I have to dodge. God has taught us how to retrain ourselves, and it's interesting that science has confirmed what God has said. That there is a way for the top of your brain to reteach the bottom of your brain. Who knew that you were going to learn anatomy when you came to church today? But it takes deliberate effort. We have these deep-seated things in our minds that elicit response. My fears are different than yours. Like when I see spiders, I'm like, cool, let's play. When I see snakes, I want to pick them up. That's me. I don't have the same fears that you have. But when I'm talking to somebody and I want to be their friend and they get quiet and they kind of look at me this way, I have a lot of fear. Because I want people to like me, and it's really important that they like me. And if I'm dumb, I want to know that I'm dumb, so I'll shut my mouth, and then I can do something to fix it so they won't think I'm dumb. Like, those are my fears. I'll play with snakes all day long. But if I think that you think I'm dumb, then I'm like, oh no, what have I done? Like, those are my fears. Now you know. So if you ever want to hurt me, just act like I'm dumb. And I'll care for about 5 minutes. Then I'll make up some reason why I don't like you anymore. I'm not kidding. I am. Actually, I've worked through that situation too. And it's been deliberate. The way I worked through that is, here's what God said. When you feel like there's something going on between you and another person, the first thing you need to do is go to that person and ask them. Matthew chapter 18, read it, it's good stuff. And so I had to train myself to, in spite of this fear, this panic that I'm feeling, oh no, they don't like me, maybe I'll just run away. Go to them and say, did I say something dumb? Like, I had to retrain my brain to do that. So now, if something's going on, some of you know, because we've done this before, like, I don't know what he meant. I'll come and ask you so I don't spend the next 3 weeks worrying. I've retrained my brain. And what God shows us here is that there is a way to retrain our brains so we are not a prisoner to worry. You do not have to be a prisoner. I am not a victim of the thoughts that enter my head. I can gain control of those. Here's how God says to do it. We're going to look through this. Stop the thought process. That's the very first thing you do. The beginning of this, verse 6, the first word is, first two words, it, do not. Don't. Like, that's a choice. When I realize it's happening, I make a choice. Do not. Do this. Stop. Sometimes we're all like 3 weeks into our panic before we realize, oh, I'm in a panic. Then we address it. And then we'll get better, and it might be a day. And then sometimes we might start feeling it coming on. But at some point, we recognize our mind is going a direction I don't want it to go. And when I get to that point, do not. Don't. I have to stop the thought process so we're not prisoners. The second thing we do is we talk to God. I can't handle this. This is beyond me. I need your help. This does a few things, but one of the things that it makes me realize that there is something outside of me that is able to work inside of me. God is capable of helping me through this situation. I teach my brain, instead of panic, talk to God. instead of sit here by myself thinking I'm all alone, no one knows the pain I'm in, no one understands my worry, stop. God, you know what's going on in my mind. You see everything. You know everything. And then the next thing is to be thankful. And why would this matter? It's called redirecting. It only took us like 1,700 years after this was written to figure it out. Redirect. Instead of sit here and thinking about all of the wrong things that could be going on, like we can be pulled in 20 different directions, I must cause my brain, the top part of my brain, to focus on what God has done in my life, the good things. I am teaching myself to redirect. And instead of saying, God, this may go wrong in the future, this might happen in the future, this might cause me to do this, and I may, what I do is I stop and I say, when I was in this situation in the past, God, you were gracious. When this happened and I didn't know how it would turn out, you were gracious. These situations that I didn't know the future back then, now I know what happened, and God, you were gracious. I will stop myself and say, he was then, and I know he will be now. I cause myself to be thankful. And then the last thing is that we practice peace. This does not come naturally. For some of us, it takes work to get to these places. Now, I don't stress so much if somebody doesn't like me. I'm like, sorry, did I do something? What a few years ago would have crippled me, now I have worked through it so that it doesn't stop me. Did you know in my first speech class at Ball State, I stopped my speech mid-speech and went and sat down? I did not finish my speech because I panicked. The football players were sleeping in the back, and I thought, I'm boring. They think I'm boring. They don't like me. So I stopped and sat down. Now it doesn't bother me because I realize they probably were at practice all day and then they had to do their homework and they're just exhausted. I have taught myself. I have practiced working through these things. And what God says is there is a way for us to go from panic to peace. And that is when we stop and we refocus our attention to him. He can provide that peace. It says it'll be beyond our understanding. Like we can get here in the future or here now and look back and say, well, I have no idea how you did it, but somehow I'm where I am today. And I didn't even think that was possible back then. Like God can do things with us that we did not think possible if we will shift our focus to him and let him lead us through these things. The biology lesson is you must make the top part of your brain submit, or you must make the bottom part of your brain, that fight or flight, you must make it submit to your thoughts. You can retrain it. The spiritual side of that is we must cause our emotions to submit to God. We give them to him and he will lead us through. So if you are not a person who's a worrier, good for you. Thank God that you have caused, or he has caused you to have some stability in that area of your life. But when those situations do come, here's how we handle it. It's a deliberate choice, and it takes practice. But he will lead us to peace in our anxiety if we will turn to him. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for what you have given us. And thank you for reminding me this week that you can be the one that leads us to change. I'm thankful that you are working in my own life and help me to take full advantage of what you're teaching me. Help us as a church to become who you want us to be. And in the situations we're stressed about or we get worried in, remind us to look to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're interested in being involved in the special music, we're just going to meet up here for a minute. Otherwise, I hope you have a great